9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Police break up pro-Palestinian demonstrations at Columbia and confront clashes at UCLA. Plus, sensing weakness at Boeing, smaller rival Embraer considers breaking into the lucrative market for narrow-body jets.
A decision hasn't been made, but it has already started approaching potential backers, companies in India, in Korea, and Saudi Arabia's public investment fund, and highlights the opportunity that they see as one of their biggest rivals, Boeing, is really struggling.
And shares of NVIDIA rival AMD drop after earnings fall short of great expectations. It's Wednesday, May 1st. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. New York City police have removed pro-Palestinian demonstrators from an academic building at Columbia University and from encampments on its main plaza, with the NYPD saying it made multiple arrests without specifying the number. That followed a request from Columbia's president, Minush Shafik, who said the building's occupation and the encampments raised, quote, serious safety concerns for the individuals involved and for the entire community. Shafik also claimed that individuals not affiliated with the university had led the group that broke into the campus building, and she asked police to remain on campus in the coming weeks. Hours after the intervention at Columbia, police were also deployed to break up clashes between pro-Palestinian demonstrators and counter-protesters at the University of California, Los Angeles. Footage broadcast from a local news helicopter showed fireworks being directed at an encampment there and brawls breaking out between protesters, some armed with sticks and other improvised weapons. However, not all campus protests over the Israel-Hamas war have been met with law enforcement. Yesterday, Yale University said all protesters had left an encampment there after it threatened to suspend and arrest them, and Northwestern University reached an agreement with protesters after it pledged to support Palestinian faculty and students and to revive an advisory committee on investment responsibility. Shares of Amazon have risen modestly off hours after the company reported better-than-expected revenue and profit for the first quarter. WSJ tech reporter Sarah Needleman says those results come after Amazon pivoted toward a greater focus on AI.
The big takeaway for the quarter is that sales of Amazon Web Services, or AWS, grew more than 17% to about $25 billion. AWS, which is a critically important profit center for the company, has seen its sales decelerate last year after years of rapid expansion. Amazon CEO Andy Jassy said AWS's artificial intelligence capabilities are re-accelerating AWS's growth rate, which is now at $100 billion in annual revenue. Jassy has significantly reoriented the company to focus on AI innovation since falling behind Microsoft, Google, and other peers in the space.
Meanwhile, shares of chipmaker AMD and server maker Supermicro fell in off-hours trading after their earnings failed to live up to investors' lofty AI-fueled expectations. AMD's shares fell about 6%, even though its sales and profit rose in the first quarter amid strong AI chip demand. And while Supermicro saw shares more than triple in the first 3 months of the year, that number still came up short of forecasts. And in more after-hours trading updates, shares of coffee giant Starbucks have also fallen after it reported a sharp slowdown in customer visits and weaker-than-expected Q1 sales and profit. A turnaround could be brewing, though, with executives pledging to speed up service in the morning when they say that too many customers are abandoning app orders because of wait times. Starbucks is also planning to roll out a new energy drink, as well as one with tapioca-style pearls in order to coax back customers, particularly in the afternoon. And we are exclusively reporting that Brazilian plane maker Embraer is exploring the creation of a new passenger aircraft to compete with offerings from Airbus and Boeing. Ben Katz is a Journal aviation reporter. Ben, tell us about this. These plans, if they go ahead, could potentially shake up the industry. What should we know about all of this?
Well, the first thing, Luke, just to set the scene, is that these plans really are still in their infancy and a final decision is still a way off. But what we know is that the company, the third biggest aircraft manufacturer in the world, they're seriously considering and they've already started approaching potential partners for this new plane. This would be a narrow body jet. So small, nimble, they are by far the biggest profit drivers for both Boeing and Airbus and the most important segment in the industry. Airbus and Boeing have had this duopoly in this segment, and Embraer is saying, you know what, we think we see an opportunity to break that up. Embraer specializes in business jets and in regional jets. So this is really a big, ambitious project that Embraer is exploring.
Exploring, and we should make clear that an Embraer spokesperson said that while they have the capability to develop a new narrow-body jet, they don't have any plans for major new investments at this time. However, Ben, from your reporting, it seems that the company senses an opening in the market.
I mean, Boeing and Airbus are still reeling coming out of the pandemic. And of course, what we've seen at the beginning of this year is Boeing entering a new crisis with its manufacturing processes, etc. There is uncertainty about Boeing's leadership. David Calhoun is set to step down by the end of the year. The company ended the end of last year with more than $50 billion in debt. That might undermine its ability to really invest and get the right aircraft in time for this next generation competition that we'll see in the 2030s. And that's kind of the sweet spot where Embraer is looking. A decision hasn't been made, but it has already started approaching potential backers. They've spoken to companies in India, in Korea, and very interestingly to Saudi Arabia's PIF, the Public Investment Fund. All of these things kind of show that there's a seriousness behind Embraer and highlights the opportunity that they see as one of their biggest rivals, Boeing, is really struggling.
It was Journal reporter Ben Katz. Ben, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, more from the world of air travel as Senate lawmakers prepare to tackle everything from refunds to runway safety. That's after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Congress is coming to the rescue of air travel, or so Senate lawmakers hope. This week, they released more than 1,000 pages of proposed legislation to address a number of issues that make flying frustrating, unpredictable, expensive, and potentially unsafe. And here to break down what effect those moves could actually have is Journal aviation reporter Andrew Tangle. Andrew, the big story in aviation this year has obviously been Boeing. Would this bill in any way address the manufacturing problems we've seen over at that company, which we should note are having global ripple effects lately?
Not directly. Boeing is not mentioned in the legislation, but the bill would direct the FAA to review and possibly change the risk model it uses to conduct factory inspections at aerospace manufacturers, particularly when the manufacturer is changing production rates. That is where we know that risks can emerge. We've seen it with Boeing. So it's not directly related to Boeing specifically, but the FAA, in the aftermath of the Alaska Airlines door plug blowout, has put a limit on the extent to which Boeing can increase its production. And so Congress is trying to make sure that the FAA is properly accounting for risks in manufacturing operations like at Boeing.
And Andrew, I understand there's more within this FAA reauthorization bill about safety issues more broadly. Tell us about some of those.
Well, over the last couple of years, we've seen a lot of near misses, near collisions at U.S. airports and planes almost crashing into each other on the ground. And one of the most horrifying close calls was at Austin's airport in February of 2023, when a FedEx plane nearly landed on a Southwest plane. That airport wasn't equipped with a ground surveillance system that could have alerted air traffic controllers to the impending collision. And so this bill is going to require that the FAA roll out ground warning systems at some 24 additional airports that would include Austin. The bill is going to essentially set the stage for the hiring of more air traffic controllers and inspectors. It doesn't lay out a prescriptive number, but it changes the FAA's sort of hiring model and opens the door for more controllers and more inspectors who police Boeing and airlines.
Or potentially some more eyes in factories and in control towers, though I imagine, Andrew, our listeners will be interested in knowing whether there's anything else in this bill that could benefit them directly. Of course, flying can be quite aggravating for all manner of reasons.
Right. One proposal would require airlines to provide refunds to customers when flights are canceled or significantly delayed. Lawmakers are seeking to direct the FAA to make rules that ensure children will be seated with accompanying adults at no extra cost. And there are other provisions in the bill that are aimed at making traveling easier for passengers with disabilities. One section orders the DOT to develop training standards for airline workers who help passengers who use wheelchairs, and those wheelchairs can break during transit.
And very quickly, this is all proposed legislation, Andrew. What's the chance this actually sees the light of day?
Seems pretty good at this point. The bill really is a bipartisan and bicameral conference legislation. It's pretty close to the finish line at this point.
I've been speaking to Wall Street Journal aviation reporter Andrew Tangle. Andrew, thanks so much for the update.
Thanks, Luke.
And finally, if you thought traveling for work was a thing of the past, think again. While vacationers had already flocked back to airports, business travel is now also closing in on pre-pandemic levels. And WSJ Airlines reporter Allison Sider says that's a particularly welcome development for the industry.
Business travelers often are the most lucrative customers that they have. They're maybe booking a little more last minute. They have a company credit card or expense account, and they are able to pay a little bit more, pay for extras. So these are the high-dollar customers that airlines had been really waiting to see return.
Delta, United, Alaska, and Southwest each reported a bump in revenue from corporate travel in their latest earnings. And that is What's News for Wednesday morning. Today's show was produced by Kate Bullivant. Our supervising producers were Christina Rocha and Sandra Kilhoff. And I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show. And until then, thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.